On www.1510wbc.com, you'll be able to hit that listen live button and get us on any listening device that you have. All of our shows are also archived there. You just have to look up Viewpoint with Sita and Friends there, and you'll be able to see all of our past shows. Of course, we share them all to our Facebook page and our website. We have a little blog. It's called SitaMediaInc.com.
That's right.
And at 14 years, two guests approximately per show for 14 years, that's a lot of people we've gotten to see.
You know what? Chatting is fun.
It really is.
It really is. We meet here on Mondays from 1 to 2, and this studio has become part of our life. It's actually like we pay rent for part of our living room, right?
Do.
And we speak about kitchen table topics, things that are going on around the nation, around the world, right here in Brevard. And they're important topics. We speak about why it's important to vote. We speak about the environment. We speak about women's rights. We speak about financial literacy. We even save historic sites, right, on
That's
this
right.
show. We speak about the Indian River Lagoon. We speak about the animals and the kind of footprint that we want to leave behind on this planet when we leave the planet, because we all know we're not getting out alive.
None of us are.
Right?
That's
None
right.
of us are.
Yep.
And we talk about faith and family and food and finances and friendships and what life is all about. And life is actually all about relationships, and it's about taking opportunities and educating ourselves to make a planet a better place.
That's
and
right.
I think we do a great job on community radio and keeping our voices alive.
We do.
And I'm all fired up because today we have a packed studio.
No, it's so much
fun
when somebody...
I have good friends today. It's a day that was... Right. It's a special day for me because I picked four awesome people to be in studio with us today. We have Jennifer East and Mary Brotherton who are here. They're going to be talking a little bit about Jennifer's films, and they will speak a little bit about a Be Unique magazine and the fair they just had in the Merritt Square Mall, which we advertised for them here on the show.
Manifest.
And in studio, one or two of my favorite people that I was so excited and happy to meet through my good friend, Mrs. Ott, Jean Ott. Jean is a good friend of mine, and she had posted something about the 100 Acre Hollows. And nosy me, of course, I went to find out what 100 Acres is all about, and I loved it. And I met Tom and Anita Unwrap, and they're here to speak with us about 100 Acre Hollows, Sunset in the Hollows, and the days they're open and why they got involved. So welcome to our show, Tom and Anita.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
It is amazing what both of you have done with the time that you have left on planet Earth after retirement. Tom, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know you you were active in your church, and also you're an activist with the Multiple Sclerosis Society. And from there, you went ahead and you decided to give back to Brevard by getting involved with 100 Acre Hollows.
Thank you. I was 22 years as a chaplain in the Air Force, and my last assignment was here at Patrick Air Force Base. We moved into a house in the Springs of Suntree, and several years ago, about 16, the place that is right behind our house was about to be sold to build 200 new houses. Unfortunately, there's no good way to have access to that area. So the county decided to lease it to a nonprofit that we formed called 100 Acre Hollows. And the lease goes for 5 years. It's renewable 10 times. And we have been able to do a lot of good things out there. It's a former retention pond area that was used for a water treatment plant that was put there back in the late 80s, early 90s, and was unused because they built the new water treatment plant out at the end of Wickham Road. So we've got a bunch of animals out there, birds. We've got over 90 species of birds that have been documented out there. We've got raccoons and bobcats and deer and just about anything you can name. And as a matter of fact, we Nita and I were watching a hawk sitting on a tree in the backyard, not our backyard, but just outside of our backyard in 100 Acre Hollows this morning. It sat there for over 2.5 hours.
Oh.
And since it was out there, Nita looked up just what some of the Native American meanings might be for having a hawk in your area. Like I said, Nita and I are Christians. I was a chaplain for all those years, and I worked in various churches around here for about 15 years. And then we are Christian, but we also have an appreciation for other religions, and especially the Native American peoples that have been here in Brevard County and other places around the United States. And Anita was able to find out something about the meaning of a hawk in your area.
Yeah, I looked it up, and it said, when a hawk appears in your life, it is possible that you have an important goal or task to complete, and that you will need the support of others in order to achieve it.
So
thank
you, got hawks
Sita.
Flying all over the place.
Well, I think there's a hawk in the studio right now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Anita, every time I see your name, I think about the Dalmatians. Anita, darling.
Right.
So, Anita, you're a retired French and Spanish teacher. You taught at, was it West Shore? Mm-hmm. And you're also an activist and do so much with the people in Haiti and all that. When I met you, what I saw was, you know, what I think all people should do and be when they grow older in life. Because you have given back so much to our world, not just to our students here in Brevard, but you and Tom together have formed 100 Acre Hollows, and you're doing so much to educate us, the public, about what's going on with that piece of property. So talk to us about the mission of 100 Acre Hollows and how you got involved.
Thank you. Our mission is to protect the wildlife, restore the habitat, and engage the public. This is a great way to engage the public, so thank you for having us on your show today. As far as protecting the wildlife, the gates are locked. We are the ones who have the insurance on the property, and so we want to be there and welcome people when they come. For 6 years, we've been open the first and third Sundays 2 hours before sunset. So right now the time is from 3:30 to 5:30 on Sunday afternoon, and the next time we'll be open is the 18th. We also will have a new event called the First Walk of the New Year from 10 to 3 on New Year's Day. That's the first Sunday.
So we can walk off all the food we ate during the holidays.
Yes, and have a nice family time walking. And regarding Restore the Habitat, it is full of Brazilian pepper trees and other things that are, we had Kogan grass there, we're battling that. We've spent a lot of time cutting back Brazilian pepper trees to make more room for the many gopher tortoises that live there. We did a survey this past January and with an FWC permit, and had our team of young junior rangers, who are teenagers who help us out, and our board members and other friends measuring these burrows and GPS tagging them. There are 467 active burrows. Well, that was in January, and gopher tortoises, that's their life's work. They dig, and they dig, and they dig,
I've
and they
been
dig
there, Ellen. It is,
for other
it is
animals.
Beautiful out there. I've been there. You feel, you don't want to leave. If Dr. Begee's back wasn't acting up, I would probably go back more, you know?
Yeah.
So, Anita, how big is 100 Acre Hollows?
It is 114 acres. It is Brevard County-owned land. And most of it is fenced in. There is an area that's outside the fence between a couple of subdivisions. But as Tom mentioned, it was a rapid infiltration basins for a water treatment plant that was only used from 1990 to 96. And during that time, they realized it wasn't big enough. A lot of the roads in Sun Tree weren't paved, and there weren't any housing developments. Our housing development was built in like 1996 or 97, and most of the other housing developments around it as well. So it is, there is one empty lot between two houses on Rock Springs Drive. The address, if there were a house there, would be 1170 Rock Springs Drive. That's the entrance. There's a gate at the back of that empty lot, and that's how people can come and visit.
So and that's where I got lost. I went there, and I called, and I said, I can't find a place. And I drove around, and I drove around, and I drove, and then when I met you guys, you said, it's right there by that gate. And I saw, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we need to try to acquire some funds to put up a sign, right? I don't know if you
we
did.
We do have an entrance sign at the,
okay,
the end of the lot. It was built by some Girl Scouts. So we've had a lot of Scout participation. We've had Boy Scout projects such as building benches and building a kiosk for information. Girl Scouts have provided us with bat houses and signs. And so we encourage more scouts to come out and see what kind of projects they might like to do in the future.
Well, Allie Tambor is our resident guest on our show. Allie, right there. Allie, have you heard of 100 Acre Hollows at all?
No, I had never heard of it.
And did you know that there was a water treatment plant in Suntree back in the day?
No, I didn't, but yeah. I did visit a lot the one that's out off of Wickham, the Viera Wetlands. Yeah, that's a regular visit for me to drive through there because I don't have to walk, so that's helpful.
So, Tom, how long have 100 Acre Hollows been a nonprofit?
We incorporated in 2016, and so do the math. It's
okay.
Anyway, it's like I said, it's we had that lease, and so our plan is just to continue doing what we're doing as long as we can. We're hoping that more people will join us as volunteers so that the mission can continue. I've been retired for a number of years at this point, and I don't frankly expect to be around at the end of our lease. But I sure hope there will be others to take it on.
Well, I love the fact that you teach about all of the native plants, because I'm starting to see more and more in my neighborhood in particular that there's actually a little tour that goes on with some of the yards, some of the folks' yards that are doing native plants. And when I inquired about it, it was more educational, and I'm watching more families bring people through to learn more about the native plants and the native birds and the gopher tortoises, specifically in Palm Bay, because they've actually stopped building. You know, like if they find gopher tortoises on a particular property, they won't even build there. They won't even let it allow
respect,
they don't,
finally.
Right, absolutely. But it's just so exciting to see, because the education is there, the education need is there, or the want for sure is there, where people are kind of getting back to those grassroots, no pun intended, grassroots of education. So I see that one of the goals that you have is to educate the public a little bit more. And it seems like with the Scouts and the Girl Scouts, what other organizations have had the opportunity to participate with you?
We've had a number of homeschool groups to come out. We also, just in the past year, have had a wonderful relationship with the Brevard Zoo. Their education department have come out to 100 Acre Hollows to bring teen groups and family groups, and we really have had a lot of fun working with the zoo. They've gotten to know us better, we've gotten to know them better, and I think there's a very good partnership that's developing, and we hope to continue that.
And it's so important, and I think from an education too, just from a, you know, getting your hands in dirt,
right,
instead of technology. It's such a welcome.
Anita, I noticed that one of your board members, Yu Lang, he developed an app.
Yes.
To help analyze the data out there.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because you're getting the children involved that are the future, like you know, like Tom said, a lot of us probably won't be around in a few years, and this has to continue. 100 Acre Hollows has to continue. So he's now at UF and he's studying computer engineering. Tell us about the app and this type of education. Like Ellen said, we had the education hands-on, but now we're seeing technological involvement.
Yes, he developed this app for a smartphone, and you could take down the measurements of the gopher tortoise burrow, GPS tag it with a location, and write a few notes about whether you think it's active or inactive, or even some burrows collapse when a gopher tortoise leaves and they go dig another burrow. Sometimes if the burrow isn't tended, it'll collapse. So when we say there are 467 active burrows, that's a lot of tortoises. They might have two or more burrows, but that's still probably several hundred tortoises that live there. Yu Lang, it's really funny that when we were signing or the lease with the county, Yu Lang was receiving an award for working with the Brevard Public Schools, and I thought, GIS, that sounds so interesting. So I literally ran out of the meeting, because the awards always come in the first part of the meeting with the county, and I asked him and his dad worked for the GIS area for Brevard County, and I said, would you be at all interested in helping us? I think Yu Lang was about 13 years old then. He is 18 now. So he has been working with us since then, about since when we incorporated. And he had this idea, I could make an app that we could then GPS tag all of these gopher tortoise burrows. So we did that in 2020, and then we did a second survey in 2022. And there were 60 more burrows than 2 years ago. So he's just been an amazing young man who worked with us. And because of his experience with GIS, he has a job now at the University of Florida working with their GIS. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and go Gators.
He did a spatial analysis of the boroughs from 2020 and 2022. He made a scientific map, and he took it to the International GIS Conference in San Diego this summer. He won first place out of 24 maps that did spatial analysis.
Wow. Amazing. And also, Anna Maria, she has an educational event as well, and you all also have the Purple Martin Habitat. All these young kids are getting involved. I think I met Anna Maria when I was out there.
Yeah, she did an amazing job. She did her Girl Scout Silver Award, is the entrance sign that says 100 Acre Hollows, and she also did six informational signs that are permanent now on a stand, and the information sheet can be changed out. She made it so that we could change the information, but she also made all the educational signs. And she had an event in 100 Acre Hollows that brought in 95 people that day. It was back in April this year. And all of that was for her Girl Scout Gold Award. So those are two amazing young people who served on our board for 2 years as youth members. We now have another youth member on our board. His name is Hugo. And so we're trying to involve young people on our board as well. And it's just a joy to see the young people be interested in the environment. Oh, and Anna Maria is studying environmental engineering now at University of Florida.
So I'm sure you have future plans for 100 Acre Hollows. So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends some of the vision that you have for the future for 100 Acre Hollows.
We would like to see more organizations use the beautiful area that it is. We have two beautiful recycled plastic picnic tables that we got. We won a Gannett grant. Again, Yuliang, this young genius, wrote that grant application, and we won it last year. That is the parent company of Florida Today. So they gave us a donation, and we were able to buy some benches and some picnic tables that we know aren't going to disintegrate in the Florida sun and the heat and the rain. So organizations could come out and have a team building day. We say we're open always for Sunset in the Hollows, the first and third Sundays, but we also are open if people call us up and want to bring friends out or want to bring their organization out. We think it would be a great place to do some team building activities.
For grandchildren, just bring a lunch, just pick up after yourself. The benches are there.
Yeah.
So Tom, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, give us a little backstory and how all this happened, because you guys did have to go to meetings with the city and all that, because I know there were a lot of developers who wanted that land. But you had the people behind you. You guys had a lot of people that showed up at that meeting to say, wait a minute.
Right. Going back to 2016, I think it was, 15. The county wanted to sell the land and make a couple $1 million on the sale and then get taxes off of the houses they were going to put in there. And the folks surrounding the area said, you know, this is not a good place to do that, and we would like you to find some other use for it. The county said, okay, we'll do that. We'll find another use. They asked us to help them figure out what that would be. And after about a year, the notion came that we would do conservation and education. That's the point at which they asked us to form the nonprofit and to take on the lease so that we could do that conservation and education. And we kind of expanded that to what Anita said earlier, to protect the habitat, restore the habitat, protect the wildlife, and engage the public.
Yeah, and I love your mission. It's so sweet and simple, but to the point. Now, I know there's a certain person in our studio that's actually, the wheels are turning in her head about maybe a film about this. Can you imagine having a film with a few of us in it, of course, going towards the town hall or the city hall or the meeting or whatever and speaking up for these tortoises and the habitat and the pepper trees and the place, because at the end of the day, we're losing our green spaces. And with losing the green spaces comes so much weather-related interferences that people are not paying attention to. So Anita, you were a school teacher one time. What do you, how receptive are the school children and the public to 100 Acre Hollows? What are some of the takeaways when they leave?
I think the people come in and their first reaction is, wow, I didn't know this was here, and I live right around the corner, or I live a mile away, and it really is like a secret garden, but that name is taken. It actually, 100 Acre Hollows was named by some Brevard County teachers who had camera traps out there in this first year when we were studying between 2015 and 2016 when we formed our nonprofit. And they have pictures of all the wildlife, well, a lot of the wildlife that was going into the gopher tortoise burrows. And so they allowed us to say, okay, this is what lives here. It's important for the local ecosystem and all these animals to keep this as a green space. But the children who come in, little itty-bitties, can help us water our two native plant gardens. We have a garden that we call the KBB Garden. They don't do this program anymore, but we got a Keep Brevard Beautiful grant in 2019. And the Audubon Society planted a garden also in the fall of 2018. And that's a beautiful garden now with native plants. So part of what we were talking about is encouraging homeowners to plant native plants in their own yards as an extension of the wildlife areas that might be near them. And our wildlife is suffering, so anything that an individual can do to help would be wonderful. So we have people leaving saying, you know, I'm going to go plant a native tree in my yard, or I'm going to plant some flowers for the butterflies. And any little thing that people can do in their own yard is such a big help to the environment. For some reason, Americans have a love affair with their grass, and grass is not habitat. It doesn't support any wildlife. So the more native plants people can put in their own yards, the better it is for all the wildlife.
Well, that's what's polluting the lagoons, you know, with all this intricate fertilizers and all of those things to get that grass growing.
Yeah, people don't think, right?
Yeah, but it seems like the neighborhoods that are looking at community gardens and doing that native planting, it seems like those neighborhoods are just healthier, just in general. I mean, it seems like neighbors talk to each other more. It's just weird.
Right. It has additional benefits for sure. It,
totally. Yeah.
So Tom, with all the things you and Anita do with the MS Society, being activists, you guys are also active in your church. You sing. You do all this stuff for 100 Acre Hollows. You also need people to volunteer, because I think I read where it costs $5,000 to remove some pepper trees and to help water plants and things like that. How can we help to get more people to become aware of 100 Acre Hollows and why they should help volunteer?
Probably the first way is just to come out and visit. Like Anita said earlier, we're open the first and third Sunday afternoon each month. Approximately 2 hours before the sunset. That's why we call it Sunset in the Hollows. It's absolutely gorgeous out there as the sun sets over the Kissimmee area. Obviously, you can't see the town, but it's a wide open space, so you can see the vistas of the clouds and the sun interplay. It's quite beautiful. If I can back up just a little bit to talk about education some. As Anita was talking about Anna Maria and the signs that she made, one of those signs is about the native plants, and another sign about invasive plants. We want to educate people to what the native plants are that are out there and that they can add to their own yards, and what the invasive plants are that are out there. And unfortunately, a lot of folks are thinking that some of these plants that you might buy at some big box kind of places are very pretty, and yes, they can be very pretty, but they're also invasive. They take over, and they're not healthy for the animals and the pollinators that are out here. I think it was Sally Scalera from UF IFAS said that it's like candy for bees, but it's really not that nutritious. They'll go there, but they really need to find native plants, especially the native bees. We think of bees as those that produce honey. Well, those are actually European bees that were brought here centuries ago. And the native bees need the native plants. And so that's a very important thing that we'd like to get people attuned to.
Yeah, because you want them to thrive as well. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Tom and Anita Unrath, and they are the geniuses behind 100 Acre Hollows. a secret garden right here in Century Vieira, Florida. And it's all about enhancing our lives and creating green spaces and educating the public about leaving a good footprint behind. Anita, we have a few minutes left, so are there any events coming up that our listeners should know about, and how can they support you all financially or by volunteering?
Thank you for that question. We always need volunteers to come and help weed our gardens, cut back pepper trees because they just grow back. We're trying not to use a lot of pesticides. We had to use something and a contractor who had a license to do this to treat the Kogan grass, which is a nasty invasive grass and supports no wildlife. But regarding the pepper trees, we haven't sprayed them because we do have 16 species of native birds there, and we don't want anything to harm, 16 species of native bees there. Over 90 species of birds have been seen there. After Hurricane Irma, there was water in the basins for 4 months, so we had all kinds of wading birds. This year, after Hurricane Ian and Nicole, there's water there, and so the wading birds have been there. But we're trying to support the native plants and animals, and so we don't want to use a lot of pesticides. But regarding volunteers, if you are able to come and help us for a few hours, that would be fantastic.
And a website?
Right, and the website is www.100acrehollows.org. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and we have a GoFundMe going right now. We have Wendy Barnes' design. She has 4 designs that support 100 Acre Hollows: the bee, the gopher tortoise, the spider, and the bat. We get 10% when you buy there. And you could also put us as your charity on smile.amazon.com. That would be really helpful. Then we'd get donations.
All about the gopher tortoise,
and tortoises. March 28th is Gopher Tortoise Day because of Anita and Tom.
Oh, how wonderful, right? So we learned a lot about native plants and birds and recycling and the invasive Brazilian pepper trees and so much more. Ellen, this was such a great show. If you'd be so kind to put the website, say the website one more time, Anita, before we go.
www.100acrehollows.org.
Right, and for those, you know, over the age of 40, 100 is spelled out. It's not the number 100. So
yeah, they're on Facebook and Instagram.
And all of the great information. What a fantastic website, too. So if you're a Girl Scout, Boy Scout, you're looking for community hours, you're looking for stuff to put on your resume for college, this is a great opportunity right here in Brevard County. But we are going to take a minute to go listen to our sponsors real quick of the Viewpoint with Sita and Friends show, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
You got it.
Featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
When you need mattress medical care and furniture, need it fast. MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida,
Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Choctaw Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Choctaw Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. Lizette's is locally owned by a Gold Star family. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared from scratch daily and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as some outside seating. They also have live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great, robust, amazing first segment we had with Tom and Anita Unrath, my friends who graced me with their presence here in our studio right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on WWBC, AM 1510, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. Ellen Little is here. Ellen O'Neill is here. And our friend,
Allie
Tambor. That took me for a minute because I thought about Wayne this morning.
You're looking at me like a little dizzy.
You know why? Because I thought about Wayne this morning, too. I think he's in the studio, too. So that's how it is sometimes.
Yep.
But anyways, we're back with our second segment, Ellen. And boy, what a great segment we're going to have with our good friend Mary Brotherton and Jennifer East. So Mary is the founder and president of the Be Unique nonprofit. She's an editor-in-chief of the award-winning Be Unique magazine. And Jennifer is here. Jennifer is also part of the Be Unique family. And Jennifer, I can't say enough about you. A filmmaker, an activist, a lover of green spaces, a person that wants to leave a good footprint behind just like us, and the lady who saved Green Gables here in Melbourne, Florida.
Wow, that's a beautiful introduction.
It is the truth, though. It's the truth. Who can forget the film and the red carpet event, the memories? It was just beautiful.
Well, and to think that it all began here. This was the place.
That's right.
Was the inspiration. Hearing stories, just like with Anita and Tom. It's like you hear these stories, and then my brain just goes 100 miles a minute. And poor Mary, she's like, slow down.
Right. Yeah.
Really? We're getting involved in another thing.
Yeah, you but are. I can feel it myself. You know,
that's not your job to slow down. That's your job is to tick, 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 tick.
Well, you know what it is, too? It's like, why else are we on this planet if not to give back, right? We all learn from each other. We learn from history. We learn from life experience. And God knows people come into your life for a reason. They're angels that God sends, right? And I think Tom and Anita are such people, and it would be wonderful if something could come off this show to show what they're doing with 100 Acre Hollows. But We'll talk about that afterwards. Right now, I want Mary to tell us a little bit about herself and how she started the Be Unique magazine. And then, Jennifer, tell us a little bit how you got involved. So, Mary, let our listeners...
Well, I started Be Unique with Jennifer at my side.
Yes. And you're going to do this film with Jennifer at your side,
too. We were two grumpy old ladies, and we were just discontent with
old
life.
Old ladies. One grumpy old lady.
We were both just very discontent with where our lives were going. So we went out to lunch one day, and we started talking. And we said, why don't we do something different? Why don't we create something that uses your talent, my talent. Jennifer is a fabulous artist. She's a creative designer and our creative director. I'm a writer and an editor, and we had been winning awards for other people for years, working as a team. And so we said, yeah, let's create our own literary magazine. This is what we should do. And we started compiling ideas, and we kept thinking we needed to do something that really focused on other nonprofits, and we ended up making Be Unique as a nonprofit because we couldn't choose which one to sponsor. But the funny part was when we were deciding on the name for the magazine or for the organization, we had a moment of serendipity. Jennifer just put down her fork, and I put down my fork and my pen. I was doing both things at the same time, and we looked across the table and, you know, just connected. And we said, whatever we do, it has to be unique.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And so we knew that we couldn't spell it like regular things. It had to be unique. So my husband thought it was nuts when I came up with the B-U-N-E-K-E.
Yeah, that big old U.
Yeah,
it's all
U.
About you.
Oh my gosh.
That's
so
what
true.
It's about. It's not about me. It's about you.
Well, you know, films, stories, they allow us to use our creative side or our imagination and write or tell a story about something that's happening that we think is important. And that's how you come into the picture, because that's what you do, right?
That's what drives me, is that I love true stories. It doesn't matter what genre. It doesn't have to be just documentary. I just love true stories.
Right. Well, you love people.
I do.
You love telling people their story.
I do.
Right.
People make me really nervous. I'm very comfortable being like behind a computer and things like that, or being behind the camera. But what I love to do is I love to make sure that their story is authentic and that people can relate to it.
And you're self-taught.
I am totally.
How is it possible that someone who won so many awards and made such awesome documentaries and films like Unforgotten Memories, of course, you're just perfect at what you do?
That's when you know.
It comes from the heart, I think, because it comes from your heart, right?
It truly is. And you know, I was inspired. I lived in L.A. for about a little over 5 years. And I decided at that time, I was a photographer, so I was shooting headshots. And I was working on two magazines, a gentleman's magazine and another magazine. And I thought, you know, I love being behind the camera, but I would love to be directing. I would love to be telling people's stories. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to do whatever I can to get on set and just watch. And that was my instruction. That was my school, watching. And I was an extra. I was a stand-in. I was a art director. I was a whatever I could be. I even got in front of the camera for commercials. I worked with, you know, big-name people. And it was, like, overwhelming being there, because I knew I didn't want to be in front of the camera. I love being behind the camera. So
that's why you and Mary work so well together. And you just had that big event at the Merritt Square Mall, which I'm sure is going to grow next year.
MetaFest was phenomenal. And you know how most nonprofit organizations have galas? We have tabletop vendors.
It's perfect.
Events, and we open it to the public. It's free admission. They get to come and get to sample. Basically, what we did is we brought Be Unique to life. We brought forth all these other nonprofits and for-profit.
You brought in a picture. People can walk in, and it's right there. It's etched in your memory. It's forever. It's like a film that we made of Green Gables. So, Jennifer, tell our listeners a little bit about you meeting our friend Mary and Ambrose, and what happened after there. Because the film, Forgotten Enchantress, right?
Right.
2,000 views and 5 film festivals and tons of awards later. It's like an award-winning documentary at this point. And it was instrumental in saving Green Gables.
And it was a zero budget. So when filmmakers out there hear this, they're going to die, because most projects start. I mean, you can't even get started until you have around $10,000, $20,000. That's just to get you started. And when we met here in the studio, I had a television, or it's an online show, and we had 41 episodes, and that was really my biggest experience was directing and producing those. And then I just had some little mini documentaries that I worked on, but nothing to the extent of what Green Gables needed. And so when we met Marion, and you were telling the story I wanted to go see what this house was like. And I literally, it was enchanting. And I knew that it was super special. And when I told Mary, she said, let's do at least an article. We're going to start there. And we wrote this article, but it just wasn't enough. And they said that they were getting desperate because they needed the community awareness so that they could raise the money to be able to purchase the property and a good chunk of green space, not 100 acres, but enough on the Indian River that it would do substantial, because there's no green space there.
You said when you went to Green Gables, you felt it.
Oh, I did.
You knew it, that mm-hmm. You knew you were going to save that house somehow, right?
I did.
Amazing.
Yeah. That was the artist photographer in you connecting with all that wood. You know, in there, yeah. Right?
Because well, I mean, it speaks spirit. To you. I think there's an essence in that house, really? And the house doesn't want to be torn down. That's why it's fought to stay alive through every hurricane. Seriously,
sure. Right?
And the trees there—you go hug those trees. They're 136 years old. A lot of them, you know.
I think the breeze is what did it for me.
That too.
I sat on the porch and I had tea with them, and I could just feel the spirit of that place.
You
and
do.
I'm not sure. I think the universe just aligned all of us together, right?
Yes.
And Mary, you could jump in here. How did you feel when you went to Green Acres? Green Gables. Yeah. I call it Green Acres because for some reason, remember we kept saying that on the show when Mary was here at Green Gables.
You saw the Green Gables sung to the tune of Green Acres.
I sure did. Yeah.
Marion wrote that song.
She did, yeah.
I don't know. I felt like it was a mystical, magical place. And I could imagine the Wells family children running around.
The history.
I remember sitting here with Jennifer, and she and I were in a position that we could see each other, and we just looked at each other that day, and we knew we had to do something. And like she said, we started with a story, and we ended up with a documentary. And that documentary, we filmed it at the end of COVID,
at the beginning
of COVID, before COVID started, mm-hmm. before we even had heard of COVID. And by the time we were being locked down, I believe it had already generated over $50,000 for the organization. And then Jennifer came up with this brilliant idea, because everything just shuttered. Everything stopped like on a dime.
Yeah, I think that was the last big event I attended before COVID as well, was
right.
the opening. No,
nobody knew what to do. And a lot of people were going, well, it was me. We've raised all this money and we're stuck. We can't meet our deadline, because they were on a strict timeline.
For the grant.
To get the money for the grant. They were supposed to get $500,000 from the state matching grant, but they had to come up with $500,000. And Miss Smarty Pants here, Jennifer, said, well, you know what, we can do this. She and I are both big on manifesting and creating miracles, and we believe in the power of prayer.
What a gift, Jennifer.
And
what a gift.
And we both know that if, you know, God said, if you knock, the door will be opened. Ask and you will find, or seek and you
receive.
Will find, you know.
And I believe in everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
So Jennifer, in addition to the story of on Green Gables, you also did another film called Daisy.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of awards for that film. Tell our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about that film as well.
So there's an organization in Orlando, and it's fusionfest.org, and they want to highlight filmmakers, so they give you the 72-hour film challenge. And so you're given a subject one night. The next day you shoot the film. They're 5-minute documentaries. And then you basically have a couple of days to edit. I usually shoot 2 days, and then I give myself a day and a half to edit. And Daisy was this amazing woman who, she migrated from Hiroshima, Japan, and with her family to United States. And it was really difficult to try and cut everything that she told me down into 5 minutes. So I really had to work hard to make sure that her story was told very quickly. And I fell in love with her. She even won in a Turkish film festival. She won Best Actress for a documentary.
That's so cool.
That was cute. That's the one that stood out to me. But we won a lot of awards, like, because it's a micro documentary, and so the whole story was told in 5 minutes. I encourage people, you can actually watch it off our website. It's beunique.org. It's available to watch. And Forgotten Enchantress, you can watch it there
and
as well.
And there's another one, Moving History.
Moving History. So, yeah.
So on all your films, you are walking away with tons of awards, and it's just like, I don't think you expected it either.
No.
It's amazing.
I don't put them out there for awards. I honestly put them out there for eyeballs, because I feel like the more, especially any causes, like the one earlier today, when you put something out, you get eyeballs on it from all over the world when you submit them to film festivals. And also what it does is it gives you a little bit of credibility, so that when you go and talk to people about whatever cause you're working on, people see that you really are trying to tell the story, that you're it's really important to you, it's really important to everybody that's watching. And I think films really have a big impact, because it can tell us a great story in a short period of time.
Right, and with such short spans that people have now,
right,
to look at things, because everybody wants to be on their phone.
So,
TikTok,
yeah,
is creating movies in, like, what, 2 seconds anyways.
Yeah.
But so when you get approached with an idea for a documentary or a film, you have to pick and choose now, because you have a lot of people that's sending ideas. Like today, I give you an idea because I can feel it, right? But how do you pick and choose based on your heart, your creative instinct? And what else says to you, this is one I'm going to follow?
Honestly, I think a lot of times they drop into my lap, because people do send things to me all the time, wanting to know if this would be a good idea, or if would this organization be credible? And it's really hard. Sometimes it breaks my heart, because I would love to do it for everyone. Like, every single person that I meet, I'm at the airport and I'm talking to somebody sitting next to me, and then I'm totally into their story.
Yeah.
Like, how can I help you? How can I do something but the things that, again, if there's like hearing somebody's story and then feeling it, and
it
knowing
has to be
my,
there.
It does, like, and that I feel it.
Right.
You know, that I need to tell that story.
Right. And Mary, so all of a sudden now Be Unique got their own award.
Yeah.
So tell our listeners how it felt. I mean, you started this, I remember when you started, and you had baby steps. You wanted to help other people. And then you said, wait a minute, I can help myself and be happy in retirement while doing it. And next thing you know, your hair is green and purple, and you got a purple girl with you, and you're doing all sorts of things all over town. And I'm like, what? How old is this woman? And she's so alive and well, and I think all illnesses is going to run away, because you're so positive, and it comes through when we see you. So how did it feel when you started winning your own awards for your magazine?
It felt surreal, because Jennifer had to tell me 3 times. I sent her the notice. I got the notice from the corporate Livewire that we had won the Prestige Award for the 2022, I forgot the name of it now, some specialist publication of the year.
Yes.
And I sent that to Jennifer, and I said, we won an award for Be Unique. And then I forgot about it, because it wasn't real. It didn't seem real. She had to remind me 3 times, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've actually achieved the dream that we had for many years. And this has been the year for me personally, achieving dreams and accomplishing things. But for Be Unique, the organization and the production of the films to be receiving awards, it, like Jennifer said, it lends an air of legitimacy to us. We're not just some schmoes out here playing.
It's your baby. And yeah, in addition to that, you're now helping to publish books. People want to tell their stories. And Be Unique is not just doing films and a magazine, but you're also encouraging writers, people with ideas, people have a story to tell, to,
yes,
hey, take the pen and the paper and come see me.
Can I say something else to you?
Yes.
Is that I just want everybody to know, we do it with zero budgets. We're not making millions of dollars. We're making like a dollar. Honestly.
But you're happy.
But
the gratification
and
you get.
And gas money.
Well, the gratification you get from it is,
yeah,
is awesome because people can make millions of dollars, but we all know money don't really bring you happiness.
It doesn't. And you can start at any
age. It's good to pay your bills and your mortgage, right? But it doesn't bring you that true happiness as seeing someone watch their dream come alive through film.
It really does.
So, exactly. Jennifer, the magazine Be Unique is like for this old lady, what a magazine would it be in my head?
I can give you a copy before you leave. It is print, digital, and audio. You can listen to it in the car while you're mopping the floor, changing the baby's diapers, put it on your headset and go out a 100-acre hollow and walk out there, watch the birds with it. You can hear the stories. The beautiful thing about the stories, the audio, is they are recorded in the author's voices, and we have writers from 28 different countries that write for us.
They volunteer
their time and their talent, and many of our writers have been award winners in their own right.
So the beunique.org is the place where I could purchase a subscription?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And if all the digital issues are there and they're all free, because we feel education and getting the word out should be available to anyone. But if you like a hard copy, which I love feeling that.
Me too.
They're small, so they can go anywhere. Even Mary will tell you, you can take them to the bathroom.
It'll fit in your purse.
Yes.
Yeah. And I gave one to Tom. You can ask him. They are the perfect size to fit on the back of most toilets.
So, Mary, we have a few minutes left. Lead us through what happened with the magazine. Now you've got the magazine, you've got the podcast, you've got people writing articles for you. It took a while to get to that spot, but there was a journey. There was a journey, right? It was a journey. Now the podcast is on as well as...
We have 14 different shows.
Wow. And where are you finding your guest and who's hosting? You still have the young man helping you that came on our show? I forgot his name.
Tyrell. Yes. He moved to L.A. for several years and he's moved back now. He lives in Tampa. Now to tell you what kind of volunteers we have at Be Unique, Tyrell drove 3 hours to MC MetaFest. And then he drove 3 hours back that same day because he had to work that night.
So let's say if Allie Tambor has a whole bunch of friends where she lives at the retirement,
Buena Vida, yeah.
Buena Vida, right?
Yeah.
And they wanted to hear more about Buena Vida, about Be Unique. You could come and give a little speech about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yes. Jennifer and I love to.
Maybe a little luncheon, Allie, Ellen. Wheels are turning too. We're good about playing parties and
I'll
getting people
guitar.
To...
I'll sing for a couple hours.
And I can come if it's a date I could request. So because I'm thinking there are so many people in our community that are older and bolder and wiser looking for things to do and get involved.
Yeah.
And they can send those stories to you for free. It takes them, 5-10 minutes on a computer to send a story?
Yeah.
Because we've got the stories. We're already at that point in our lives where we're not looking for new stories. We got them.
I want to read this little excerpt off of the beunique.org website, which I think kind of sums everything up.
Even the
magazine, productions, and the radio are educational tools. They're a nonprofit organization created to teach readers, listeners, and viewers about the many amazing companies, organizations, and individuals that are in our world making a difference. It's like putting all these people together that are making a difference. They deliver relatable, easy-to-understand, insightful, motivational content for all ages. And they offer literary, interactive, digital magazine that's printed on demand, so you can get that as an audio version or the magazine. So that kind of sums up everything that we've talked about. So organizations, individuals, everybody that wants to contribute, you have an opportunity to right here on the website.
Right.
And if you go to beunique.org, again, the spelling is beunique.org. You can get in contact with Jen or with Mary and hopefully get
and submit a story or an idea. So Mary, your own book took 40 years to complete. How is that possible? Your book took 40 years to complete. What happened? What happened in between there?
She's a few years older than 40, so it takes a long time.
Why did it take you 40 years?
It took me 40 years to write it because the first story I wrote, is about 40 years old. And I've written all of these little short stories about angelic encounters and God's intervention in my life for the majority of these 40 years. And so I'll keep it short because I know we're running out of time. But I tend to not take care of my own needs and my own desires first. So I've been busy doing other things.
Are you trying to say that sometimes you have to say no? And you just learned. And you know what I love about you, when we did your ad on the radio for the Merritt Island Gala, the Meta, instead of having dress up gown and all that, you had belly dancing and yoga as well.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So it was all about the well being as well. It was health and wealth.
Tai Chi.
Yeah, it was about health, wealth, prosperity and happiness.
Absolutely.
That's what I saw.
We had artists and authors and aromatherapists, and we had a woman bring an entire garden and sell her plants there. She was one of the most popular booths there. We had jewelry makers, veterans.
You know, I can see you all getting a table at the Renaissance Fair.
We've worked with them through Green Gables before.
Yes, because that's coming up soon. And
Jennifer and I cannot give them 2 weeks worth of time.
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the next MetaFest, if you missed the first one, the next one is going to be on January 14th. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And once again, you should mark your calendar. There's free admission and parking. And it is going to be at the
Merritt Square Mall.
That's right. Our vendors range from acupuncture, yoga, and everything in between.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, my son-in-law, Scotty, and Kimberly owns the Cloud9 Sleep Shop and Mattress Furniture in the Merritt Square Mall.
I'm going to go be seeing them very shortly.
You have
so after your yoga, you can go test out mattresses.
Yeah. Check them out and give them some of those and tell them that we are friends. And
they
maybe
probably won't charge you for naps.
And we can all share it on our social media feed as well.
Thank you.
So that'll be good.
Tell you,
what a great show. One more minute. So give us a website one more time for the Be Unique magazine. And if people want to submit a story, submit maybe an idea, maybe Jennifer could give it to us.
Sure. The website is... Well, I drop the www thing, but you can use that. Be Unique. It's BUNEKE.org.
Jen, anything you want to add with the last 30 seconds we've got? Anything we missed that you probably have at the tip of your tongue?
I just wanted to say thank you for having us. I appreciate you. You're so wonderful. And I feel like it's family here now. It's not just us coming in and having to share our wares. And please don't think that all we do is for awards. It's just that's been kind of the
It
really
just makes
nice
us feel like we're proud of you.
Thank you.
It makes it's like our award, too, because when you succeed, we all succeed.
Exactly.
It's like I always say, when the United States does well, we all do well. Right. And I feel like when you do well, I do well. And when Allie and Ellen shows up here to help host a show and Danny shows up, it's a family.
It really is.
It really
is.
Thank you
for being
here. I mean,
we
don't have many years left on planet Earth to give back. And so whatever we've left that we could see and speak and talk and walk. And, I mean, we ought to do it because there's going to come a time where we can't do these things.
Can I say one thing really fast? There's also Moving History, the film you mentioned, is going to be showing at the CW Theater in Melbourne this Thursday at 6 p.m. And all 100% of the proceeds are going to the museum. It's Black History Museum that's in Melbourne. And it's about the original founders of Melbourne. So it's a really important story. And I hope if people are out there and they need something to do on Thursday night at 6 p.m., come to the CW Theater.
We will make sure that we share all of that on all of our channels that we have. But once again, another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope everyone's holidays and all your crazy shopping and all of that good stuff is going good for you. Remember to keep a song in your heart, as always. And we will see you next week here on 1510 WWBC for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you then.